And then, of course, I want to thank Warren Jimenez from my staff, who dogs these issues very, very well. Thank you, Warren. Pleased to vote aye.
Leonard?
I'm very pleased with the work you all do, too. And Suzanne Barr, you're right, from the Bureau of Development Services, has been a fantastic advocate for streamlining permitting and other issues affecting small businesses. We have worked very hard at that bureau to streamline the permitting process and make it a bureau where you go to have a project done that they actually help you find solutions and not set up obstacles. And I think there's nothing better we can do to help small businesses than to make sure that the least of their problems will be getting a permit if they want to finance an expansion or relocate. And that's our goal, and I think we're doing pretty good at getting there. So I appreciate all of your work, and happy to vote aye.
Sten.
Well, I also want to thank you. You've really moved this committee, which I think has always been needed, but has, you know, probably began more as a voice of, you know, sort of things that need to be done into a group that's doing those things. And it's a real pleasure to work with you and look forward to it. Aye.
Potter.
I want to thank you for the report. It's an excellent, detailed report and lots of good things in there. It is small business that is the backbone of the Portland business community, and we know that it's one of the responsibilities of this council to make sure we support our small businesses. I also want to thank the members, 20-plus members of the SBAC, for all that you folks do on a regular basis. As soon as I vote, I think there was a sign-up sheet for this, wasn't there?
Actually, I did not have a sign-up sheet for this one.
Good. I forgot to ask if there are people who are to testify, but I will ask that after I vote. But anyway, I appreciate what you folks do, and there's a number of things in the proposed budget that will, I think, enhance what you folks are doing, both in and out of the URAs, as well as provide better advice to the small businesses with the Lewis and Clark Legal Law Clinic at PDC. So I think there's some good things on the horizon, and I look forward to working with you folks, and I have enjoyed the experience. I vote aye. Thank you. Is there anybody here who wishes to testify on this matter? Thank you. Please read the next item.
Agenda item 513, confirm appointment of Linda Jefferson as the fund administrator of the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund.
I'm pleased to introduce a resolution along with the rest of the council appointing Linda Jefferson as the administrator of the Fire, Police, Disability, and Retirement Fund. Linda is exceptionally qualified for this position. She has over 40 years of both public and private sector insurance and risk management experience, with the last 19 years managing the city's workers' compensation program. I have the utmost confidence that she will be able to lead FPD&R and finish implementing all of the changes to the fund approved by the voters last November. I hope you'll all join me in confirming Linda's appointment. With that, turn it over to Yvonne.
Good morning, Mayor. For the record, my name is Yvonne Deckard, and today I'm here as the chair of the Board of Trustees for the FPD&R. We actually approved Linda, and Linda's had a opportunity over the last week to meet with all of our unions, some of our employees, with other members of the board one-on-one. I'm just here today to answer any questions that the council may have about process and transition, but to basically say that the board is excited about Linda's appointment and is very supportive of this.
Linda, welcome to City Council and to your new position.
Thank you very much, Mayor Potter. I'm quite honored to be here today. While I've been here for a long time and have known all of you, some more than others, I've been very much an advocate for the individuals who go through a very difficult process if they're injured on the job, their recovery, and their return to work. And I just really appreciate the opportunity to now extend that to another branch of the organization dealing with our sworn officers. And I'd like to thank all of you for your confidence and your support.
Thank you. Questions from the commissioners? Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Do we have a sign-up sheet?
I did, and no one signed up.
Is anybody here who wish to testify on this matter?
Hi, I'm Robert King, president of the Portland Police Association, mayor, members of the council. I think we've come a long way in the reforms in FPD&R. Many changes have been made, and I'm excited actually about the changes that are in the process of being made. I think the new board's taken on, you know, the challenge and is revising all sorts of rules that are going to help in the operation of the fund. I've met with Linda. I knew of Linda during the citizen review process and was impressed with her interaction with the group, her experience and her expertise, and her personality. And in meeting over coffee just recently, it's really clear that, as you say, Mayor, she brings a tremendous experience to the job and much-needed, I think, structure. There's a transition period now for claims that are in the process. And I know that over time, what we're looking forward to and hoping for is that those rules are more clearly spelled out, that there are timelines that are put in place and that are adhered to. There's clearer communication with members about what the rules are and what the process is and what the appeals process looks like. And that over time, FPD&R becomes more efficient and more credible in a way that'll be good for officers and for, I think, really for all of us. So I was excited about Linda's appointment. I have committed to her to help her be successful in the new position, and we'll do that in any way that I can and work with Yvonne and the board in implementing other changes that need to be made to make the whole process, I think, more effective. So thank you.
Well, good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Dave Benson from the Commanding Officers Association. First, I want to join with Robert about Linda. I knew Linda when she was interim manager of our benefits fund, and she directed the LMBC, which is a unwieldy group sometimes at best, having been a member of it for 15 years now, I think. Linda is one of the nicest people, honestly, I've ever met in my life. I mean, she's a tremendous person. She listens, she's compassionate, she cares, and that's the kind of person we need as executive director of the fund. That said, I was a rather vocal opponent of the process to appoint a director, and when we get to picking new directors for critical positions, I would hope we would think a little bit more about the process and maybe look at options for the process of selecting directors. But that said, she absolutely has my support. I will do everything I can to help make her successful. Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate it. Further discussion? No, and there were no other sign-ups, correct? Right. Anybody here wish to testify on this matter? Okay. It's a resolution. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, congratulations. I have every confidence that you will do a great job. I've had the opportunity to work with you in a variety of different positions that you've held over the last 19 years, at least the, 13 years I've been around here. So anything that my team or I can do to assist you, we stand ready to help, and good luck to you. Aye.
Leonard?
In the fire service, there's a real goal to put firefighters out of business by having fire safety be so effective that you never see a real firefighter show up at your business or house. And in that same vein, the perfect workplace for firefighters and police officers would be that they never have to interact with the disability fund, that they stay healthy, that they are able to perform their duties. But occasionally there are firefighters and police officers that are injured. And Lynn and I had a chance to talk about this a little bit in my office, and I want to share what I expressed to her, because I think it's something very important for particularly Linda's position, to appreciate. Firefighters and police officers are an unusual bunch of people, to be minimal in my description. The average person doesn't want to and is not interested in doing the things that are required of a firefighter or police officer on a daily basis. So with that, you get a group of men and women who are extremely proactive. Often it's called bravery. I refer to it more as a personality trait that is inherent in their psychological makeup. And when they get injured, it is a very difficult thing for men and women who are used to taking care of people, who are used to delivering bad news to people, who have lost a family member, who are used to doing things that are the definition of what most of us think of as heroes on a day-to-day basis. So when they're injured and need help from somebody else, it is a very, very difficult thing for them to ask for the help. And it is a very difficult thing when a process becomes so cumbersome that they feel powerless. And I'm familiar with firefighters and police officers who have had that experience over the years in a number of different systems that exist in the state and the country for treating injured fire and police. Notwithstanding the very public shortcomings that have been publicized of a very, very few who have taken advantage of this system, I have always been proud that it first and foremost tried to make sure that our injured firefighters and police officers received the care that they needed. My only expectation of Linda and this new board is simple, that you treat every firefighter and police officer fairly. Sometimes that means saying no to a claim. Other times that means saying yes, even if public opinion you think might not support the claim. That's why the system is there, is to treat those men and women fairly. And that sounds easy, but it's a very, very difficult thing to do. I am convinced after meeting with Linda and being on the receiving end of some very effective lobbying by a very close friend of hers that is also very close to me, that she is the right candidate for this job. So I'm very pleased to support you, and I look forward to working with you, and I am confident that the things that I described to you are something that you carry with you, whether I made those comments or not. So I appreciate very much your willingness to step up in this very trying time for firefighters and police officers and provide this service. Aye.
Ben.
Well, this is a tough and important job, and we're at, really, I think, an historic moment where we're either going to make this new system work or we're going to go back to having fights. Because no matter what we pass, no matter how smart it is, people make it work or they don't make it work. And I've seen really perfect systems not work with people not cooperating. And so this is a critical job, and I think, Linda, you're the right person to do this. I'm excited to support this vote. We have worked around each other but don't really know each other, and so I had a chance to sit down with Ms. Jefferson last week, and I started off by kind of joking and asking the same question I asked Yvonne, is, are you sane to want this job? You have a really good job, and you're doing a really good work, and all of your supervisors seem to highly recommend you, which is why they're offering you. Why do you want to go over to this thing and take it on? And she completely convinced me that this was, she actually told me, this is what I do, is this kind of work, and I'm really, really excited to take on this challenge, and I was very impressed. I then made a couple of reference calls because I didn't want to vote on this until I was sure that I felt comfortable. I usually do trust the recommendation, so I started from a premise that it would make sense, but I wanted to check it out. And I talked to somebody who knows you well, and I said, but she seems so nice, and this is really tough, you know? And she said, oh, believe me. She knows exactly how to stand her ground and be fair. And so I think that that's exactly what we need in this position. So you have my full support as well as my offer to help wherever we can, and I think this is going to work. So I'm actually very happy that you are sane and that you want this job, and I think you're going to do very well.
Otter.
Well, I want to extend my thanks to the folks who found you and to you for applying. Like Commissioner Sten, you know, you sort of wonder sometimes why people take on these challenges, but you look up here, and, you know, we've taken on different challenges too. So I really respect that. As I looked at your background and your current work, I was impressed with how you have really managed your organization so well and the awards that you have won for the professionalism in your organization. And I expect to see those same things at FPDNR. And like the rest of the council is that we see that role as being a fair and impartial administrator of that fund, that it protects people who put their lives on the line, and that we would expect the fund to ensure that when their claims are legitimate, that they're honored, and we know that you're going to do that. So once again, I want to thank you for that, and I look forward to working with you to make sure that the fund lives up to its promises, both to the members as well as to the community. So thank you, and I vote aye. Please read item 514.
Reappoint Sue Disciple to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission for term to expire May 31, 2010.
Sue, could you come on up? I'm pleased to recommend the reappointment of Sue Disciple to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission based on the endorsement of Commissioner Salzman, who unfortunately can't be here today, and her many years of great work with the commission. Sue's current term expires May 31st. For those of you who don't know, the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission develops and regulates cable service franchise agreements and manages public benefit resources and assets related to the agreement. So, Sue, thank you for being here this morning. And would you like to make a statement to the council?
Just briefly, thank you for this reappointment. I was surprised when I was reminded that this would be my fourth appointment, so I'll be going on to 10 years on the Cable Regulatory Commission. So I guess time flies when you're having fun. We have a lot of interesting work ahead of us. We've got the new FCC requirements on franchising, and we're fortunate to have some companies wanting to pursue that. That means we may have additional competition here in the city for consumers. That's good news. And then probably this is out of school, Mayor Potter, but I'm going to beg your indulgence. You've got on your desk a request from Portland Community Media for a funding package of $66,000 for a coordinator for youth services. And that position has been spackled together with grants. Those grants have expired. We're looking to bring more stability to this program of bringing youth into media and media education and use of media tools. And I'm sure you didn't expect me to lobby you in this process, but I do hope you'll consider it. It's a small package to allow us to leverage that large and valuable resource we have over there on Martin Luther King Boulevard for hundreds of kids. And I don't think I need to tell you the importance of media literacy and access to media tools for all of us, but especially for young people who might not have access to such tools otherwise. So thank you for your indulgence.
Thank you, Sue. I've known Sue many years, and she does speak her mind. And I really respect her for that, though. And you contribute a lot to our community, not just through the regulatory agency, but just as a citizen, I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Was there a sign-up sheet for this?
I did not have one.
Is there anybody here who wished to testify on this matter? Okay, this is a report. I need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Aye.
Leonard?
I actually really miss having the Office of Cable and Franchise in my portfolio. I very much enjoyed getting to understand better the cable system in Portland. It's fascinating, and I was really pleased to be able to be at the grand opening of the new remodeled studio on MLK. And so I got a chance to see that the stations where the young folks actually learn, and I think that's actually a tremendous program, bringing much benefit to the community. So. It's really, I used to call it cool to have that office assigned to me. I've never described another assignment as cool, but it was very cool, and I enjoyed it a lot and actually miss having it. So I appreciate you signing up again. Thank you. Aye.
Ben.
Well, some would say you've made permitting cool.
That's true.
But only a few.
Some would not, however. I'm actually reasonably confident that the cable companies do not miss me having the cable office, but I did enjoy it very much myself, and a large part was working with Sue. I may have appointed you to that first term 10 years ago because I had the cable office just over 10 years ago for one of my first assignments, and I want to say this is probably among the reappointments I would be most enthusiastic to make. Sue has just been a tremendous champion for consumers and citizens out there and actually was the articulate voice behind a decision that I actually think changed some telecom policy for the better nationally when we stood up to AT&T on open access. And Sue was our person there describing why this needed to happen. And the fact that you've still got the energy to keep pushing is terrific and needed. So it's just a great pleasure and good to see you. Hi.
Potter.
Well, I said what I think, so you're doing a great job. And I will take under advisement your recommendation.
Thank you.
I vote aye. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you so much.
Please read the next item.
Item 515, pay claim of Ann Nguyen.
It's an emergency ordinance. Is there a staff here to...
Morning, Mark Sterker, City
Rep. Yes. Just give us a
brief. Or do you want me to present? I'm sorry.
Just a brief recap.
I thought there was no sign up, it would go through. I'm sorry. As I explained in my memo, this is a three car MVA on I-5 South when our fire employee was reaching for a cell phone and traffic in front of him stopped.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, he was reaching for a cell phone. A fire employee was driving, reaching for a cell phone, and traffic in front of him stopped, and he was unable to stop in time, and he rear-ended Miss Nguyen and pushed her into the car in front of her. So she was driving her Mercedes-Benz. She was not injured, fortunately. Her car is under repair at the body shop. Submitted an ordinance for $6,247. The only thing, a lot of times, when these cars get in the shop, there's additional damage, so there could be some more, which our city appraiser will approve, and then there could be a supplemental payment, as I explained in the memo.
Questions?
There could be a supplemental payment? What does that mean?
Well, that means it could actually cost more than what we know of at the time we submit the ordinance. There could be some hidden damage, which is discovered after the vehicle is broken down.
Got it. Okay. Thanks.
Further questions? And do we have a sign-up sheet? Okay. It's emergency vote. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Thank you, Mark. Please read item 516.
Pay claim of Siltronics Corporation.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, as I explained in my recent memo, this was a situation where one of our water trainees did, in fact, make a mistake and did perform an incorrect shutoff, and Siltronic up there on Northwest Front Avenue did lose its water supply for 1.25 hours, and they did have a plant shutdown. They've documented their claim at the 15,202, and their claim is in line for payment. We admit to making a mistake. Unfortunately. And there has been changes made at the Water Bureau, as I understand it, to make sure that the trainee does report to the supervisor and the procedures have been updated.
Questions from the commissioners? Was there a sign-up sheet?
No, I did not have one.
Anybody here wish to testify to this matter? It's an emergency vote. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Thanks, Mark. Please read item 517.
Form a motorcycle and scooter citizen advisory committee and adopt bylaws for committee structure and purpose.
The motorcycle and scooter commissioner would like to speak to this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In April 2005, a group of citizens came together with concerns about how motorcycle and scooters are planned within the city of Portland. I met with that group on a number of occasions, and their primary concerns were around parking. 2 years ago, when the mayor appointed me as transportation commissioner, I think there were less than a dozen motorcycle or scooter parking spaces in the city. And as you can see driving around, especially in the central business district, we have increased that number significantly. But this is going to be a growing mode, and with a proper vehicle, it is a very green mode for us to be incenting folks to use. So we want to recognize motorcycles and scooters in our decision-making process in a more upfront and sustained way. And so you have before you the my proposal to create a motorcycle and scooter citizen advisory committee. It joins advisory committees in transportation for pedestrians, for safety, and for bikes. I think that the group that we're looking at actually appointing to this will serve the city well. I'm especially concerned about safety because, relatively speaking, up to this point, the percentage of scooters and motorcycles amongst the other motorized vehicle traffic has been relatively small. That is increasing very rapidly. And I want to make sure that we are on top of the safety issue in a precautionary way, and this advisory committee will make sure that we're doing that effectively. So I appreciate the consideration by the City Council in appointing this, creating this committee. We have some people signed up.
And are there people signed up?
We have two people.
Please call.
Patrick Layshock and Julie Goodrich.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes. Go ahead and begin.
Julie Goodrich with the Scooters Community.
Patrick Layshock.
Good morning. Zach Christensen with the Motorcycle Community.
Good morning. Courtney Olive, Motorcycle Community.
First, I'd like to thank everyone for the opportunity to speak to council. Unfortunately, Heather Knight is not able to be here today. She's another member of our group. In April of 2005, the Portland Mercury hosted a motorcycle and scooter community forum. Over 100 people attended, including Commissioner Adams. After listening to our concerns, Commissioner Adams issued a challenge. He said, "I think the motorcycle and scooter community has to provide clear arguments to council. We will look to you to present a compelling case that an increase of motorcycle use means reduced congestion, reduced pollution, and a safe alternative to single occupancy vehicles. I look forward to hearing from you." The group here, along with Heather, accepted that challenge. We've worked hard in the last couple years, meeting at least quarterly with city officials. We'd like to thank especially Ramon Corona and Dan Bauer with the city. They've been outstanding to work with. We've had a number of successes, and we've identified a number of next steps, as Commissioner Adams noted. We've also received favorable response from other city governments, including Seattle, Boston, and Atlanta. We're excited to work with the city for three primary reasons. First, as Commissioner Adams noted, Portland is facing a potential rider safety issue. As ridership increases and as sales increase, there's likely going to be an attendant increase in accidents and fatalities. Portland should proactively address motorcycle and scooter specific safety concerns. The second reason we're excited to work with the city is that there are a number of benefits that accrue to increased ridership. Two of them include greater fuel efficiency when compared to automobiles, and also increased efficiency of existing transportation infrastructure. The third reason we're excited to work with the city is that Portland is a city that's not afraid to innovate. It's part of the city's personality. Portland has the opportunity to become a national leader in motorcycle and scooter safety transportation policy. As Commissioner Adams earlier noted, quote, Portland should be a proving ground for new ideas and technologies. I want my office to reflect that. In close, we hope that in the hope of continuing our efforts, we are pleased to present the members of council with a resolution and bylaws to formally create the Motorcycle and Scooter Citizen Advisory Committee. These documents have been prepared in consultation with Portland's Office of Transportation, endorsed by city officials. We ask that you approve them so that we can continue doing our part to help make Portland the city that works. Thank you for your time. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from the commissioners? Well, thank you for being here today, and thank you for willing to participate as members of this committee.
You've really done a great job. Thank you.
Do we have another? Is this the sign-up sheet?
That was all.
Okay, good. It's a resolution. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I want to also thank, in addition to the advocates, I want to thank the Mercury who hosted that initial forum. It was a great discussion, and the Amnesia Brewery was just packed to the gills. I was surprised. I also want to thank Commissioner Blumenauer's office, who was represented at that meeting as well and has served as a good technical sounding board for us. Dan Ramon, more great work. I appreciate it. Council appreciates it. And I'd like to thank Roland Schapowski in my office for his work on this issue as well. I'm very excited to get going on this. Aye.
Leonard?
I'm very happy to support this. Aye.
Stan?
I'm looking forward to seeing what you do. Great work. Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Thank you very much, folks.
Please read 518.
Create a local improvement district to construct street and bridge improvements from the Columbia Slough to Alderwood Road in the Northeast 92nd Drive Local Improvement District.
Commissioner Adams?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the City Council. After the last time that we considered this issue, I've had the opportunity to continue to study the issue, and I think, like members of the City Council, I'm seeking a fair balance among the potential impacted stakeholders in how to proceed with this. I'm convinced that this LID is important, and I note that the average assessment rate of less than 2 cents per square foot is very modest, even when compared to other LIDs that have been formed, including residential LIDs. The fact that the fire department supports this project, in addition to providing additional everyday access and options for access, convinced me that the LID is necessary. In terms of how to put together an assessment methodology that is fair to all the parties, between the last time we considered it and today, I want to offer an amendment that will restore the trip volume assessment methodology in lieu of the square footage assessment methodology adopted by Council on 32807. In the absence of approving this amendment, presumably the port would not withdraw its remonstrance, and therefore the Port of Portland's remonstrance would defeat the formation of the LID, and Council would lose jurisdiction. Notwithstanding the port's remonstrance, I believe that their assertion that the square footage assessment methodology, if consistently applied, would effectively eliminate the port's assessment, which the port is obviously not asking for. The Port of Portland has indicated that they would be agreeable to restoring the trip volume assessment methodology and would withdraw the remonstrance upon this amendment if approved. The amendment further applies a differentiated estimated trip rate in which properties not developed as of January 1, 2007 pay a higher trip rate, which is 115% of the base rate of $235.57 for an effective rate of $270.90. Similarly, properties which were developed as of January 1, 2007 pay a lower trip rate, 88% of the base rate of $235.57 for an effective rate of $207.55. This amendment also provides a reduction for all properties whose owners whose owners, who initially remonstrated against LID formation, which is not the case with the square footage methodology against which the Port of Portland has remonstrated. The purpose of the split rate is to recognize that properties not yet developed will likely develop to their highest and best use sooner than properties with existing development will, and similarly will likely achieve their assessable trip volume sooner than will existing developed properties. Therefore, the rate differential essentially reflects a timing premium in achieving future and potential benefit afforded by the LID in which the maximum estimated trip volumes will be achieved. The effect of this amendment is that the port would bear an additional combined estimated assessment of $128,071.90, with two other property owners absorbing an increase of $1,704.85. The results in a significant offsetting reduction of $129,776.75, or 11.6%, for all other property owners within the LID. Those are my opening thoughts. Andrew.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. Thank you, Commissioner, for recapping the amendment very well. The remonstrance that was received by the port covers the 82 properties owned by the Port of Portland, represent 74.1% of the total area of the Local Improvement District, 80.8% of the assessable area of the Local Improvement District, and 80.8% of the estimated assessment of the Local Improvement District. The reason that the percentages are the same for assessable area and the estimated assessment, of course, is because the assessment methodology was amended to be square footage on March 28th, so those two percentages are the same. The 80.8% percentage is in excess of the 60% threshold by city charter, which defeats formation of the LID. A copy of the remonstrance is attached as Exhibit K in the amendment, and you have recapped those points. So I'll move on to Exhibit L. If you look at Exhibit L in your amendment, that has a map of the properties that remonstrated in pink, mostly north of the slough, and the properties in green did not remonstrate by the filing deadline. So that's just a recap of the remonstrant. Recapping the amendment, as you noted, the result of this would be a $128,000 shift to the port. The port has indicated that they would not be opposed to that shift. There's two other property owners who have very small shifts of three figures. As you mentioned, the average rate, if you look at all the square footage in the LID, would be about 2 cents per square foot. If you narrow it down to the assessable square footage, it's about 7 cents per square foot. There's a fair amount of exempted properties in the LID, such as wetlands areas. But I just wanted to put that figure in context for you, because we really are talking about slicing the pie, a pretty small pie, relatively speaking. So all of the effective per square footage rates in the LID are in a cent per square foot range. Again, you know, the average being less than a dime a square foot. I just wanted to compare that to some other LIDs that we've either considered creating or have already created. I had a meeting in North Portland a couple months ago, and I talked to those property owners about paving one block of street. Their effective assessment rate would have been $14 per square foot of property. So you're comparing an average assessment here of less than a dime per square foot on an effective basis with a residential LID, had it moved forward, that would have been $14 per square foot. Even a recently assessed LID in Lentz that had a low-income safety net was 62 cents per square foot. So the average rate of less than a dime per square foot is a small portion of what we were able to provide in Lentz in a low-income area. So moving forward, if council adopts this amendment, then the property owners would be assuming that the port withdraws their remonstrance, the property owners would be notified of this change, and we'd come back one last time on June 6th for presumably a final vote to approve or not approve the LID. So adopting this amendment today and does not preclude council from ultimately not forming the LID on June 6th. I would also note that all of the property owners were notified of the previous change in to a square footage methodology and will, of course, be notified of moving it back to the trip volume methodology with a multiplier applied. And we will notify all the property owners, and they will have a chance to digest that change. Any questions for council?
Just to confirm today is it would be a vote on the amendment, then notification, and then a final vote for the council?
Yes.
Actually, isn't this a non-emergency and moves to a second reading? So we would vote on the amendment, but that would then move to the second reading.
Right.
Questions from the council? Thank you. Is there a sign-up sheet on this?
We do. We have 11 people signed up.
Okay.
Come up three at a time. We have Steve Wells, John Hanna, and John Hoagland. They'll be followed by Sini Apostle, Cynthia George, and John Tesler.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, if you could keep your remarks to 2 minutes, it would be appreciated. And please state your name when you speak. Thank you.
I'm Steve Wells with Trammell Crow Company. We're the developer of Cascade Station, which is the north 117 acres of the port-controlled 450 acres. We represent about 81 of those acres now. PDC controls the other 35 acres. We are in support of the LID with the trip volume allocation, which we believe is, for our properties, a much more fair way to allocate the costs of the LID. The Cascade Station development between public and private funding has contributed $100 million of street infrastructure and rail infrastructure over its life, both from the initial installation of the improvements and the at the time we changed the zoning in the last couple of years, the new mitigations that we had to contribute at eight or nine different locations within the city. We're supportive of this if it's fair. We're supportive of the 15% premium on undeveloped land, which I believe primarily targets our properties. We think that's a fair compromise, but if you go to a square footage allocation, it dramatically skews because we do have a lot of property and it's fairly densely trip generating on an average during the day. It skews but mostly uses the Mount Hood interchange and the I-205 connections from Airport Way. We believe it inappropriately skews the trips and the cost to our projects. So we believe trip volume is a much more fair way to assess the LID in this case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. My name is John Hoagland. I'm the president and GM of AeroCraft North. I am, in fact, a Portland small business owner. I spoke in the last meeting where the council adopted the amendment to move to square footage. Our company's position is that we don't see any benefit to us in this LID, and our first wish would be that it would be benched and not happen. When the port remonstrated, of course, I would like to ask you to consider tabling the LID project based on the port's remonstrance. However, if it is determined that it really is a benefit to the community and needs to move forward, I would ask again that you stand by your earlier vote and consider the square footage amendment versus this new proposed trip volume, which I just saw for the first time this morning. So just really quickly, case in point, my business, per this most recent amendment, the assessment to me would be just under $40,000. That's this new amendment. The square footage amendment puts my cost closer to $9,000. So we're a six-year-old business still trying to catch hold and get going, and that kind of a dollar difference is very significant to a business the size of mine. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is John Hanna. I'm president of Yokream International. Our manufacturing facilities are on the northeast corner of 87th and Columbia. First of all, I'm very pleased that consideration is being given to this egress to the north. A couple of years ago, or several years ago, there was a hazardous chemical spill to the south of us. Evacuation to the south was unavailable because of the accident, and there was virtually no way out quickly to the north because the road wasn't available. And so from a safety standpoint, we are very, very interested in this LID, and we think it's a great benefit to the area. I was puzzled by the square footage method that was being considered. It seems appropriate, in my experience, that cost should be related to use benefit. And so I'm an advocate of what's been presented today in that regard. But nevertheless, whatever is considered in that regard, we are, again, excited that ultimately this road will take place for the safety of all the employees in this manufacturing area. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Our next three are Sini Apostol, Cynthia George, and John Tesler. They'll be followed by Lise Glancy, Todd Thompson, and Dean Phillips. Go ahead, and Lisa, do you want to come
up? Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name for the record when you speak, and you each have 2 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Cynthia George. I'm the property manager on Northeast Marks. I'm just going to read my statement here. National Storage Centers was opposed to this LID based on the trip assessment methodology. Having the additional access from 92nd would not be a benefit to our facility. Our first preference was to see the project not go through at all. The assessments was prohibitive to us in the first place, and in the second place, we believe the information gathered for this trip assessment is inaccurate. In the spirit of fairness and cooperation of our neighboring businesses, we did agree to stand by the methodology that was approved at the last meeting. Since the project will benefit the retail development, we feel the square foot methodology is appropriate. With the port's demonstration against the square foot methodology, and if there is no other proposals put forth, National Storage would support the LID just going away. Thank you.
John Tesler, representing Ventura Foods. Our position is that the LID improvement is really not needed. It will not help our business. The trip methodology, even that has been modified, is not accurate because I just noticed an adjacent business that has probably as many or more vehicle traffic than we do. It's only going to pay less than 10% that we're going to be charged. I think it's disproportionate. It's not allocated appropriately. The trip permit needs some better method. I noticed the Port of Portland has a large employee parking lot just on the other side of the LA, or the where the road's going to go through, and I think that would benefit them more than any of the businesses south of the Columbia Slough. If we can't defer this vote or this LID until maybe a year after the Killingsworth Lombard or the Columbia Boulevard is constructed and see how that runs. We need to find another method. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Potter and members of council. My name is Lise Glancy, representing the Port of Portland. At the previous three council hearings on the 92nd Drive LID, the Port expressed our support for the LID. But as you know, on April 18th, we remonstrated against it, and primarily because of the shift of $655,000 of costs to the port. That increased our share of the total project cost to $1.9 million out of the $2.4 million total project costs. We remonstrated because the methodology, we believe the shift does not reflect special benefit of the LID, was not uniformly applied, and is unfair. The port is more than willing to pay our fair share. We're not willing to pay a non-fair share. With respect to the special benefit, I would say that Yocream, a property owner south of the SLU, as you've heard, initiated the LID. The primary rationale for the LID was the need for alternate emergency access for these properties. The Portland Fire Chief testified to this on February 28th. Currently, 92nd Drive dead ends at Alderwood, and south of the SLU, property owners have only one access for their properties to Columbia Boulevard. The extension of 92nd Alderwood with this LID will provide them with multiple points, access points through Cascade Station, and I believe Steve Wells talked about the investment in the transportation infrastructure there. While the improvements to 92nd would help the overall transportation system flow in the area, including port properties, access via 92nd Drive would be the fourth choice of access for the port and port tenant properties. In our remonstrance, we asked the Transportation Department to explore a new assessment methodology. We support the approach proposed by the Transportation Department. We believe that is a fair assessment approach, and we urge your support of that.
Thank you.
Next, we have Todd Thompson, Dean Phillips, and Tim Parks, and they'll be followed by Chris Cornwallier.
Can you read the names again? Carla, we seem to be a short one here.
Mr. Parks also had to step out for a moment.
Now, Chris Cornwallier.
Thanks for being here, folks. State your name for the record when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
Good morning. My name's Todd Thompson, and I'm general manager for the Portland operations of International Paper at 9111 Northeast Columbia Boulevard. I came before City Council along with other business owners on March 28th to compromise and support the 92nd LID based upon a fair alternative allocation method that was accepted and approved by City Council. Our position is that there is no special benefit in terms of freight movement for International Paper with the extension of 92nd Drive to Alderwood. The increased traffic volume will actually hinder our business delivery system and mobility. Although we are still opposed to the LID regardless of cost, International Paper is willing to compromise and support the LID on the basis of the City of Portland's prior approved modified square footage methodology. This methodology is fair since the major beneficiaries from this project will be retail developments north of the SLU who want the additional access and traffic volume versus industrial businesses south of the SLU who are actually hindered by the traffic volume. We have been involved in a cooperative effort with the other businesses in the LID to formulate this modified square footage proposal, which achieves a more equitable distribution. Logically, we see no reason for the port to gain further exception due to their having three alternate access points. The difference in these additional access points do not relate directly to connecting by connecting to Alderwood as the exclusive and private road that both Acme and Owens, Illinois are currently using. Also, these business owners are not receiving a 100% discount or exemption. They still will have an allocation. Even though the properties north of the SLU do not have multiple access points, the fact remains that the retail development in process is the primary beneficiary. We feel that everyone has had a full opportunity to propose a different slice of the pie in prior hearings and that City Council has listened, reviewed, and made a determination that the majority finds appropriate. International Paper has been upfront in our approach, proposals, methodology to work in the spirit of cooperation. Since the modified square footage method was approved on March 28th, we have had no opportunity to review the new proposal with the affected business owners. In fact, we have reached out to the city and port to understand their position. We feel this puts International Paper at an unfair disadvantage as we are trying to work in good faith. In summary, we feel the city should move ahead with the prior approved modified square footage methodology and not add any further meetings, hearings, or delays that will only cost more time and money. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. Dean Phillips with the firm of Davis Wright Tremaine. I'm appearing on behalf of Expedex International Paper. It is somewhat surprising today that we're here in this position, but unfortunately we didn't have notice of this revised proposal, and we had tried to work very cooperatively with the property owners, and the notice was as late as yesterday that there was going to be a revised proposal. I only received a copy of it this morning, so we haven't really had an opportunity to digest this, but the bottom line is that this simply reduces the original assessment to Expedex by the amount of 11.6%, which is not sufficient, we think, to reflect any benefit that might be received for these improvements. The copy of the map that you have received as part of the proposal, I think, goes along with the old saying that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, this picture is worth 10,000 words. You see the heavy black lines on this map is where the improvements are going to occur. There is one small portion of that improvement which touches the bridge that is on the south side of the slough. All of those other improvements on that heavy black line are on the north side, which is going to benefit the Trammell Crow development and the Port of Portland development. Of course they want to support this because it shifts a large portion of the assessment to the southern property owners that are already developed out. They have by far the largest opportunity to recoup these costs with the new development that is going to take place. All of this green area to the north is potentially new developed parcels, but yet they want to shift the majority of this assessment. I can't say the majority because they're taking the majority of the assessment, but it's still not enough under the trip volume assessment. They want to shift as much, of course, as possible to the southern owner properties. We came back with what we thought was a very fair proposal. We reviewed it with the port before we presented it. We came to council. Council reviewed it. Council discussed it. And council passed on it. We don't see any reason to go away from that original proposal other than to try and pacify the port that's going to do all of the development on the north side. Once again, we think your initial decision was the correct decision. We don't see any reason to go back on that decision. And if you want to honor the port's remonstrance, then let's just kill the project. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Council, my name is Christopher Cornwallier. I represent a small property owner on the south side of the slough, Tom Saunders. The comments that have been made emphasize all the points we've made earlier. There is no question that this is a landlocked, odd piece of property when it comes to the area owned by Port and Trammell Crow. You can look at the green area of that map and realize that that is one of the largest tracts of undeveloped retail space in this community, and it happens to be immediately adjacent to the Columbia River and immediately adjacent to the only viable traffic-free sort of access from Washington, which is Route 205. It makes that property very, very valuable per square foot, and the only limitation on the value of that property is limited access because of the slough on one side, the river on the other, the freeway on one edge, and the airport on the other, on the west end of it. There is no doubt in my mind that the beneficiary of this improvement at 92 LID is going to be the Port of Portland and Trammell Crow. There is also no doubt that that retail space is going to be very, very valuable property, and that the rents that are going to be assigned to those properties are going to reflect very good value for the Port of Portland. They're going to be making money off of this in a very large way. They can also take these costs and project them forward to the tenants in those properties. All of these south side property owners are industrial businesses. Number one, we don't have much traffic. Number two, we have existing businesses that are struggling to exist under the current financial strains that are there. Adding these additional costs to the south side businesses where there are no benefits and likely detriments to their operations is unfair. And if you are consistent with your view that small businesses should be protected, you should be looking at the answers that you've given previously suggesting that the Port of Portland pay the lion's share of this. The Port of Portland can still pass these costs on to their prospective tenants on this very valuable property. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, folks.
Tim Parks? I think Tim Parks is here.
I'll keep this brief, and I apologize for having to step out. Carol Wilson Fine Arts is a south property owner, and basically concurs with the opinions of the three gentlemen that were up here previously and supports their positions entirely. I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I hear a motion? Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Potter. Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. I will be very brief. We did provide notice of the hearing that originally was scheduled 2 weeks ago that got postponed today. So we provided